Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Gavin Emmett, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast from Phillip Island in Australia. And what an event we've had here. This is how Cal Crutchlow won the race.
Cal Crutchlow is well on his way now as he comes over Lukey Heights to take this MG corner. This is the last bad corner for him. He's got it done. Cal Crutchlow comes through turn 12 here at Phillip Island. The Great Britain is going to win for the first time ever here in Australia. His second win of 2016. Cal Crutchlow is the first British rider to win an Australian MotoGP, and he wheeled it in the best possible style. Crutchlow's a winner in Australia.
So what a great MotoGP race, and I'm joined by the two men slightly excited at the end of that one, Keith Ewan and Julian Ryder. Great performance from Cal Crutchlow, and after P2 in Germany, P1 in Czech Republic, second in Silverstone. Now another victory for Cal Crutchlow in Australia, the birth of his baby Willow. I'm just going to go on and on if I could about all the positives that Cal Crutchlow's gone through in the last few months, but what a performance.
He's having a hell of a year, isn't he? Unlike my throat, which is now getting destroyed by Cal
I wonder
Crutchlow
why that might
single-handedly.
Be.
But you've got to say that, you know, people may have said nothing to do about his family, of course. That's congratulations and a brilliant achievement on its own. But winning in the wet, choosing the right tyres, tick, done the job. Winning in the dry, chasing Marc Marquez, Marquez crashing out, tick, done the job. The next one I'm waiting for, beating Marc Marquez, absolutely knocking him out of the park.
Do you think he could have done it today, Julian?
Yes.
He was closing Marc Marquez. There was an echo in here. He was closing Marc Marquez down when he forced Marquez into the error. Mm.
It was early in the race, Jules, and I don't think you can say anything like that just yet. It was all about that hard tyre compound that they chose. The Hondas, I mean, Cal's been here before. Podium looking like it was going to be, a dead cert.
That was on the Ducati, wasn't it?
And he lost the front end, just like Marc Marquez lost the front end this time round. That tyre, there's nothing a rider can do. You're braking into a braking area in a straight line, and if your tyre isn't with you, it's gone from under you. You can't save it. Even Marc Marquez can't save those kind of crashes. And that's what we saw from Cal here on the Ducati a couple of years ago. We saw it from Marc Marquez this time. My worry was throughout the race, as you might have managed to discern in between me screaming, was the fact that Cal had to keep the pace up. What worried me, when he got that big lead, he'd have known what the lead was, and you can see the look on Lucio Cecinello's face as well. They all know in pit lane, any racing person, any racer knows that you've got to keep heating a tyre so you can go. The faster you go, the more heat you've got, so the faster you can go. But the second you start laying off it, and the great thing about it was you were down there watching the weather. The sun was shining through a gap in the clouds.
It was the smallest gap, I tell you.
And who could have known that Cal was watching that?
Yeah, he was.
We all used to do a bit of cloud chasing on the street bikes over the years. But also, Aleix Espargaró, towards the end of the race, he had the same crash. Another hard front tyre user. There goes the worry, cranked up even more.
Why is Cal coming into his prime now? He's 30 years of age this year. We've talked about Marc Marquez winning 5 world titles by 23. Why is Cal getting there now?
He said it in part Fermé. The fact is, he's, you know, to start with, we'll say that he's more mature. He understands everything. He understands this business perfectly now. Cal Crutchlow is right in the zone. 28 to 32 is a great age to know where you're at, to know how to do your business, and to know how to get the best out of your team and bike. And he said it in part Fermé, he's got a great team around him. They really are like a family. They love Cal. And having a top ex-motorcycle racer as your team boss, who understands your mentality as well, it's a real, real advantage.
And so we're going to talk about Rossi in a second at 37, who's still doing the business as well. So are we seeing some riders, Julian, put on the scrap heap too early now?
Well, perhaps, but British riders, again, tend to mature later. We don't have the structure for kids and teenagers that there is in Spain, Italy and other countries. So, of course, British riders are going to mature later.
Brilliant point, Jules. Absolutely right as well. Bang on.
What happened to Marc Márquez? He looked nailed on for the win, didn't he, today?
Well, he did, but he chose that hard tyre. And it was, you know, when you're on that crux, if he'd chosen the softer tyre, it may well have gone by the end of the race. If that Honda was pushing the front and he needed a hard tyre to make it... Remember, he ran it in warm-up and he went quicker than any... He'd gone in qualifying. So he ran it in warm-up in really cold conditions earlier on, colder than they were just then. And unfortunately, somehow, he didn't have enough heat in it and he lost it in the braking.
And he was under pressure.
How much was he affected by lack of track time then?
Well, everybody was affected by lack of track time. But Marc Márquez less than most. Because when he got pole yesterday, he said the last five laps he did were a test for today. Well, he had slicks in.
And then he came out in warm-up this morning, stuck that hard compound tyre in and went quicker than he'd gone even yesterday.
Yep.
So the fact is that he thought he had the data. But it, like I said right at the beginning of this conversation, a rider in a straight line losing it in a straight line, it's nothing to do with the rider. It's only about the tyre.
Well, he did promise we'd get the old Marc Márquez back, and we certainly got it today with him crashing out of the race, didn't he? Good ride for Valentino Rossi from 15th place on the grid.
Just a minor miracle. We're used to major miracles, Valentino. So when he performs a minor miracle, we almost ignore it.
He wasn't quite sharing out the full miracle, though, for Lorenzo, was he? Because he's still, you know... Although I have to say that that finish was better than I thought it was going to be for Lorenzo.
Yeah, he was really suffering, wasn't he, Jorge? And it's almost as soon as he feels that cool breeze around his gills, it just doesn't quite work, does it, for him?
A fish on the track. You're reminding me of John Kaczynski.
Yeah. And Vinales in third. Back-to-back rostrums.
Yeah, the Suzuki... Yeah, I must say, with that hard front tyre, he must have been worrying about the same things. Yep. I mean,
he said, didn't he, straight after the race, that he'd seen Aleix gone down and all those thoughts entered his head. Let's have a listen to our Grand Prix winner today, Cal Crutchlow. Here he is, Cal Crutchlow, Grand Prix winner for the second time. But to compare this one to the one you were early on in the season, I mean, this is another level. This is a dry race, beating everyone into the ground today. Congratulations, Cal, but... What were you thinking when Mark went to ground in front of you?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks, Gav. It was a good race. I said I had two aims this year. After the first one, I won in the rain, and I said I had another aim, which was to win one in the dry, and we've done that. I believed I could have beat Mark anyway. I really did. I felt in good shape. I lost a little bit of time at the start, and I let him get too far. But I could see him. He made a couple of mistakes before, just ran wide, and I kept coming, and then he crashed. So. After that, it was a disaster because honestly, I was just riding around on eggshells, especially on the right-hand corners. So my brake pressure was really weak, but I just made sure that in the laps when the sun was out, I took it easier. I know that sounds completely stupid, but we knew the track temperature come up so fast. And the other laps, I really pushed because I needed to keep the heat in the tyre. So yeah, don't get me wrong, it was a long race. Honestly, I never wish any hurt on any other rider. But I wanted a red flag to come out. I was one of them. It was one of them where I thought, an umbrella, just go on the track or something. Not, you know, or close to the track where we could stop the race. But it's one of the worst feelings in the world when your pit board's going up, knowing that the two guys that also ran the hard front tyre have crashed. Because I could see that it had crashed. It was just one of them races. But really disappointed that my girls can't be here again.
What is it about them not being here?
I get to see them in 12 hours because they're coming to Malaysia, so I can't wait to see them. But you know, a good job by my team. I'm pleased for them. They've worked hard for this, especially my guys in the garage, Beefy, and all the boys. We did the best job we could, and it was a win today.
Cal, I just want to take you back before we talk about the win again to last year, and how this seemed. Yeah, it seemed like a bridge too far after your first season, and it just seemed like we didn't know what was, whether this day was going to come. But it has. It's come twice now that we've been able to see you up there. So what's changed over those last couple of years?
I don't know. I always go around the island, so I have to, I have to be careful with that. But I targeted some races this year, and this was one. I targeted Aragon as well for a podium, and I targeted here to win, and we did it. So my team's done a good job. We've understood the bike very, very well, especially in the second half of the year, and we've worked strongly together, and that's important. So I have a great group of people around me as well, you know, that I surround myself with, and you know that it's only a small group of people, but it all adds to the to the belief that we can do it, and I've come away with a win today.
You know, we always like to bang the drum for the British riders. It's obvious that's going to happen. But do you know you're the first rider to win multiple races? First Brit since 79, since Barry Sheen. Does that make you proud?
Yeah, I'm one of the oldest in this category now. And that was still 6 years before I was born. So you can imagine when you're racing these 21-year-olds, and it's a hard deal when you're getting older. But I never give up. I never stop the fight of wanting to win, or else I wouldn't be here.
And what's the future now, Cal? Two races to go in this season, yeah, and you still got a chance of winning those two. But thinking about 2017, thinking about the possibility of a title tour, is it realistic for us to get that excited?
Not yet. I'm a realist. I will always say the truth. I'll always say what I believe. I think at the moment we're in a good point in my career. Am I ready to win a championship? I don't know, but I'll give it a go, whatever happens, and we'll see how we start the season next year. But we've got two races left yet. Sepang's going to be difficult for our bike, we know that. We thought Danny would have been the man in Malaysia, but we'll try again there and try again in Valencia also.
I'm sure Lucy and Willow are watching back home, so I'm sure they say their congratulations. they're on the flight, so maybe they're not watching. They'll find out as soon as they get to Malaysia. Cal, from all of us at BT Sport, yet again, congratulations on another brilliant performance. Well done.
Thank you. Cheers.
Onto the front straight now at turn 12, but Luthi built out of here. Will he have it by the line? Will Morbidelli slipstream Luthi to the line? Here comes Luthi. Luthi's going to get it at the line. Here comes Thomas Luthi. He's pinched it at the line. Luthi wins for Morbidelli. That was a prediction made, but not one I thought would come to fruition. Thomas Luthi of Switzerland timed it to absolute perfection.
Boys, what a finish. What a finish to that Moto2 race there. And it was a tale of two different setups, wasn't it, of the bike today between Tom Luthi and Frankie Morbidelli. If you could give a win to both of them, you wanted to do it after that one.
One had got good entry speed into a corner, one had got good exit speed off of a corner. Luthi, we read it quite early on, yep. Jules, that Luthi had that onto the straight. He just seemed to be cleaner, smoother, being able to get the drive up on the curbs out onto the front straight. Wasn't sure whether he could drag his way to the line. You can be sure he wasn't sure either. But,
but what impressed me, Keith, he didn't try a kamikaze Hail Mary job at Honda on the last lap. He went for his strength. He did the last corner as perfectly as possible and put himself in this situation to use that strength you were talking about.
Believe me, if he'd been in the position, he would have gone for the kamikaze. I'm fairly sure of that, because there's nothing like a hairpin to ram it up the inside and move your man out onto the dirt. But no, you're right. I mean, the bike that Luthi had was the right bike onto the front straight.
And he is a man on form. He's
on fire. Never won back-to-backs.
Which is
an
amazing
stat. Can't believe that, in his career.
Yeah. Amazing stats for a world champion. And he's close enough now. His first Moto2 win was at Sepang. Where are we going next week? A gap of 22 to an out-of-sorts Zarco.
And I want to mention Zarco, because out-of-sorts... Now, we talk about someone in Johan Zarco who we know his head sometimes gets the better of him. Where's his headspace going to be at now after 12th place today?
Yeah, I think what I would be doing if I was Johan Zarco was thinking to myself, I've had a terrible day and I've increased my lead by a point. It's a different bloke who's chasing me now, but I've increased my lead from 21 to 22. Okay, it might be Luthi that I've got to do the business over, but I'm actually further ahead than I was.
Of course, if he wins the race in Sepang, Jules, he would be a crown world champion. So he's still, the ball is very much in his court, but his lead has been demolished by Luthi.
I'd rather be 22 points ahead than 22 points behind.
And I'll be 22 than 21 as well, of course, Keith. But he's never liked Philip Arnold. Look, the past 3 years, Luthi's had an awful time here.
Two crashes.
Sorry, Zarco's had an awful time
here. Two crashes and a seventh place. Those have been his last three results for this place, and now a 15th.
Yeah, so extending his championship lead. That's a good weekend, actually, here.
Actually, not a 15th, a 12th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who's arguing when it's down there? Alex Rins, another one who's having a really rough time before going up to MotoGP.
He's done in this championship. I can't see him recovering from that. Sepang, maybe Valencia, perhaps, if he was in a position. But I think Alex Rins has taken such a knock this year. His confidence is out the window.
Yeah. Luthi is the man on form. And we know how difficult it is to disturb Tom Luthi's equilibrium. He's an Iceman.
And talking about disappointment, Sam Lowe's again dropping out today. How much is that down to the confidence he didn't have? When I spoke to him on the grid, he was having, the handlebars were being moved. A simple thing, one of the basic things you think the team would be measuring and everything, and he just said he was looking at them and they didn't feel straight.
All I've got to tell you about that is he's rattled. Mm. And that's, he started the race rattled. When you're moving stuff around on the grid, then you know there's something not right in your head. You know, Sam, he gives it everything he's got, mentally and physically. And this weekend, he'd already chucked it out the road four times, and the fifth was soon to come. So, I mean, I don't quite know with Sam. It's almost like he needs a winter.
Yeah, he can do what he does at Aragon, but then he can have, before that, the appalling events of San Marino, where he was, frankly, not a Grand Prix rider, almost. And then Aragon, he was the best you've ever seen him. And now he has five crashes here. Talk about up and down.
So, just finally... is this championship going down to Valencia?
Yes, I think the Moto2 championship is going down
to
Valencia.
And who's taking it then?
It's still going to be Zarco.
Jules?
It's
a big pause.
You don't like agreeing with me. That's the reason you paused.
That, and I've always been a Tom Lutie fan.
That's true.
Well, let's hear from Tom Lutie then, after his back-to-back Grand Prix win here in Australia.
Your second victory in a row, you are still in championship contention, and just seeing your celebration coming into Parc Fermé, do you think this was your best victory so far?
Yeah, really. I think so. It's possible because it's two in a row, you know, it's first time in my whole career. And just before the start, I said in an interview on the grid, a guy asked me why it never happened, and I said, that's why I'm still here. I want to do two in a row, and it's really, really great. I'm so happy, and as well, big thanks to the team. They did a good job all over the weekend again. And now let's go for more next week.
Thank you very much, Tom. Congratulations.
It's Brad Binder that wins the Australian Moto3 Grand Prix. Locatelli comes through in the second place. He's safe there. Who's it going to be?
Canet.
It's going to be Canet who takes third place in the slipstream. Darren Binder is kept off the podium by Canet, but still his best ever Grand Prix finish.
Well, Brad Binder showing his class once more at the front of that Moto3 race, but there were a lot of crashes there today, and a lot of nasty ones as well, including our own John McPhee, who thankfully, is okay, in inverted commas, flying back to Scotland for an operation on a broken thumb. But a lack of track time for the Moto3 boys, perhaps, this weekend?
I think everybody's had a lack of track time. Moto3 have probably had more than any, haven't they, really? Because Moto3, first day Friday, they actually got more time on the track than the MotoGP and the
Moto2
guys.
But not in the drive for those. I'm thinking with the youngsters.
You're right, but at the end of the day, it is push and shove in cold conditions, in windy conditions, on a track that kind of encourages you to really get stuck in. It's one of those tracks, isn't it? And you've got the fast-flowing stuff. Then you've got the dead stop. I'm going to ram it up the inside if all else fails kind of corners. And that's what we see in Moto3.
I think that's a really fair analysis. And a lot of top men, all the contenders for Rookie of the Year, championship contenders, Grand Prix winners on the floor today.
McPhee was on, though, wasn't he? He
was
on for a podium.
And that's
no
good
doubt
to see,
it.
Isn't it, that he was riding so well before that horrible, horrible crash.
Shout for Mahindra, really. Mahindra's looked good this weekend here. Yeah. Mahindra, that positive front end that they seem to have over everybody else.
In
it
that
just seems
case,
to be the
let's
bike
have
the
a
track.
Shout for the top Mahindra man, Darren Binder. A fraction of a second from the rostrum.
Yeah, great performance from him. First podium as well for Aaron Canet, who was third today. But let's hear from our world champion and race winner, Brad Binder. Brad, congratulations. To keep you cool then when everything else was a bit chaotic around you, real testament to your world championship. So well done today. Did you enjoy that one out front at Phillip Island on a day like this?
Thank you very much. Yeah, today was great. I really pushed hard the first five laps, and then I saw I had a 3-second gap more or less. So I just tried to stay out of trouble pretty much. And, when I actually just relaxed a little bit more and just tried to flow a little bit better, I went quicker. So... you know, I think it's the most perfect race I've ever had. Well, feeling-wise, that's for sure. And to come across the line and see my brother came fourth for is amazing. I think I'm more stoked for him than myself.
That's nice. He only just missed out on the podium as well. Hey, it'll be a good celebration for the Binder family tonight. Congratulations, Brad. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks very much, boys. We'll be back with you on Thursday in Malaysia with our preview podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cast. We'll speak to you then.